everyone. This is Pastor Phil Beatty again from Hartford City Church, praying God's blessing and favor upon you today as you listen to this podcast. Today's podcast is part of an ongoing series I have with my friend Connie. We call it Conversations with Connie. Connie thought it would be good to have a podcast of encouragement, but also dealing with issues that people have questions about, people both inside and outside the faith of Jesus Christ. Just in general, we as humans, you know, have certain questions about God, the Bible, the life and that we live. And so this is an opportunity to address some of those questions with Connie. We think in a very, you know, interesting and hopefully intellectually stimulating context. So thank you for joining us today on the podcast. And today's question that Connie brings to us is about judgment, our sins, and heaven. So she writes to me, Pastor, how will we be judged in heaven? Like, are there different levels in heaven for different people based on what they did and didn't do? Or does everyone reap the same benefits no matter what kinds of sins they committed? And are all sins truly equal? Are all sins the same? Good question, Connie. Starting with the question of all sins being equal or the same, well, I think that most of us, from just our common sense perspective, say obviously not. You know, we know that, you know, taking someone's life is not the same as stealing something from a store. While both things are wrong and both things are sin, we certainly understand that what is wrong in a large category. But in our day-to-day life, we wouldn't really tolerate as people or a society the exact same punishments for every kind of sin. For some punishments would seem too severe for the sin or the crime that was committed, and other punishments would seem not enough. So we have different punishments and different consequences to fit different kinds of crimes and sins. But in the church that some of us grew up in, I understand where your question comes from, because we're taught all sin is equal in God's sight. No sin is greater or worse to God. Well, I would say yes and no. So on the yes side, certainly all sin separates us from God. And God takes seriously any sin that is in our hearts, that is in our lives, that is in our societies. And oftentimes the teachings of the Bible call our attention to certain sins that we might overlook and say, no, these are pretty serious. You know, the sins of pride, the sins of hurting little children. There are certain sins of oppressing the poor, neglecting the poor, that are really, really important to God, and we might not think they're as important. And certainly, there are all kinds of things listed in the Bible that we can look at and say these are sins, these are violations against God's law. So the fact that sin as a whole, every act of sin, separates us from God is true. So in that sense, you know, sin as a concept is on the same level. But even in the Bible, different sins had different punishments or consequences. So certainly as far as being equally treated or exactly the same treated, that's not necessarily true in the Bible. In fact, the Apostle Paul, when writing in the New Testament, says we should avoid sexual immorality because all other sins a man commits are outside his body, but there's something different about sexual immorality because it affects the temple of the Holy Spirit. So as an example, there is something different that we need to consider about that particular sin. Even though all sin is sin and it separates us from God, that's true, there are different ways that we deal with it based on the situation that we find ourselves in. In fact, I think the Bible and Jesus' teachings in particular does a great job of pointing us to something that we often overlook, which is what we call the sins of omission. And that's the sins that we fail to do something good rather than the things that we do bad. So again, we focus so much of the time, and rightly so, on things that we do that are wrong. And we need to correct the things that are wrong, stop doing the things that are wrong. But Jesus is equally concerned with the things that we should be doing, but we aren't doing. So those are equally offensive to God and equally separate us from God and are things that we need to take just as seriously in my life. So for instance, if I'm a compulsive liar, I need to take seriously the fact that lying is something that hurts others, hurts myself, and separates me from God. And I need to do everything with the help of the Holy Spirit and my sisters and brothers that I can to get rid of that thing that I'm doing in my life, the lying that I do. If I am neglecting to take care of the poor or to stand up for the rights of the oppressed, that's equally something that, for as far as my attention deserves. So while the sins themselves may not be equal as we discussed, the equality lies in that I need to pay attention to those sins and give them the same place. In fact, you might argue that Jesus is saying we should pay more attention to those things. And if we do, then in a way, we'll see its benefits in every area of our life. Let me try to explain through an example. So Jesus gives a teaching in the Gospel of Matthew. It's the last major teaching that he gives before he heads to the cross to die for our sins and to accomplish what the Lord sent him, what God sent him to the earth to do. So I'd like to read for you today from Matthew chapter 25. That's Matthew 25, verses 31 to 46. Listen to the words of Jesus. When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit on his glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me." Then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you?" The king will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you who are cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. I needed clothes, and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and in prison, and you did not look after me." They will also answer, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or needing clothes or sick or in prison and did not help you?" He will reply, "Truly I tell you, whatever you did not do for one of the least of these, you did not do for me." Then they will go away to eternal punishment, but the righteous to eternal life. It's a very important parable and teaching that Jesus gives about the judgment of God, about what God sees. And it's really focused upon doing the right thing, particularly as it relates to the poor, the hungry, the sick, the oppressed, prisoners, those who are the least, the last, the ignored, the forgotten, the overlooked. Jesus, in many, many, many places, says that these things are very, very important to God, and that in the end, they might be the things that we are judged upon the most. Not the bad things that we do, but the good things that we do not do. But here's my point. Both of those categories are sin. The things we do that are wrong, and the things we don't do that are right. And how do we get rid of sin in our life? How do we become the kind of person that God wants us to be? Well, Jesus spoke often about how our hearts need to be changed. And we know as followers of Christ that God himself is the one who changes our hearts. That when we accept and believe in Jesus Christ as our Savior and our Lord, our King, that the Holy Spirit comes to us, convicts us of sin and righteousness, of what's wrong and what we need to do right in our lives, and gives us the power to do that. So Jesus is concerned that our hearts be in the right place, because if we have the right heart, if we have the right mindset, then we will do the right things. We will become the kind of people who do these things. In fact, the people in this parable weren't even aware sometimes that they were doing these things to the Lord, but they were doing them because that's the kind of person that we were. So we know that we all, as sinners, as people separated from God, need to have our hearts and lives changed to become the kind of people that God wants us to be, which is what righteous is. You know, righteous is not something we can do ourselves. It's not something we work at on our own strength, but it's something that we receive from Christ. His righteousness becomes our righteousness. His power becomes our power, and then we can live. So when we have the right heart, we do the right things, and God changes our heart. But there's a little something else that goes on as well. Sometimes when we do the right things, as the people in this parable did and weren't even fully aware, then God uses that to create in us the right heart. So it kind of goes both ways, really. If we do the right things, then our heart will become right and we'll become the kind of people God wants us to be. So we need a right heart to do the right things, and we need to do the right things to gain a right heart. May sound like circular reasoning, but I think of it more as an ebb and flow, a give and take, a dance. It's not a linear process, but really it's something that as we hold hands with justice and righteousness, and as we receive love and forgiveness from God, we hold hands with the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and we twirl around in an eternal dance of transformation and glory. And that's what the beauty is of God's work in our lives. Some people might say, well, look, here's these people, they're doing the quote-unquote right things, and yet their hearts are still full of bitterness, still full of anger, still full of judgment and condemnation. Well, my question might be, what kind of right things are they doing? It seems the kind of right things that can change our hearts are the things like helping the poor, feeding the hungry, visiting the sick and in prison, and taking care of the stranger, the alien, the foreigner. These are things that seem to really have power to change our hearts. The Pharisees in Jesus' time, the religious leaders, the ones who prided themselves on their religiosity, did a lot of the right things, like paying attention to the details of the law, how much you could work on the Sabbath, how far you could walk, paying attention to the amount of tithing that needed to happen from their money, from their spices, from their food. They got so lost in the details and the minutiae of the law that Jesus said, you've forgotten about some of the other things that you really shouldn't have forgotten about. And it's important that we today remember we could fall into the same trap. We could focus on so many things that we think we're supposed to do that would make us righteous, instead of concentrating on the righteous things that God has revealed for us to do. And as we do that righteousness, our hearts change, and the wrong that we do gets cleansed out. It gets pushed out. You see, if our heart is being changed, then I no longer want to do those things that I shouldn't do. Those things that are part of the darkness or the evil of the world, I no longer have an appetite or a desire for those things because my heart is being changed by God and I'm doing the right things. And as I'm doing the right things, my heart is being changed and transformed. And as that goodness, that almost like clean water flowing into your life, it washes out the bad, it washes out the dirt, it washes out the sin. And that washing is the living water of the Holy Spirit given to us through Jesus Christ, His Son. So I encourage you today that if you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you admit that you're a sinner, both by the things you've done and the things you've not done, and you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins, and you commit to follow Him for the rest of your life, then you will receive eternal life. You will be listed among those righteous. You will be the sheep. You will be the kind of people who do the right things that God wants us to do. And so when the King comes in all of His glory and He sits on His throne and the judgment is given out, you can have confidence that you are a sheep because Jesus Christ has made you a sheep. And as a sheep and not a goat, you will have confidence that you will enter into eternal life. And once we are in God's kingdom, I believe that the message of the kingdom is that all people are welcome, all people are loved, all people are servants of one another. So there is the great equality, and I believe that we will all reap all of the benefits of the new heaven and the new earth because of the righteousness given to us by Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Again, my prayer is that you would believe and receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today. If you're listening to this podcast and you're curious about Christianity or the faith, we encourage you to visit us at Hartford City Church. We meet every Sunday at 10:30 a.m. at 15 Vernon Street in Hartford, Connecticut, the corner of Washington and Vernon. It's in the Learning Corridor School. We're in the block right between Trinity College and the Institute of Living, a few blocks down from Hartford Hospital. We'd love to see you there. We truly are a place where everyone is welcome, where all of us are seeking to be transformed into sheep, if you will, by the power and love of Jesus Christ in our lives. So God bless you today. We'll be back again soon.